Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing. It's already been just being in the Lord's house and sensing His presence and listening to the music that actually glorifies the Lord and praise Him for it. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Sunday evenings we've been going through a series. We started out with the series in teaching on every book of the Bible. We started in the book of Genesis. We have preached through and teaching one message on each book of the Bible. And then we got to the book of Revelation. And we gave you the outline of the book of Revelation. But then we're spending some time and just breaking it down for you. So we've been in the study in the book of Revelation for some time now. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. Everything that we have need to know about eternity past, God has written it down for us and preserved it in the Bible. The Bible has God's account, and this is the Creator's account of what took place in the beginning, where we came from. It gives us an understanding of God's purpose for all things, a purpose for mankind, a purpose for this earth. And so everything we need to know and can understand about eternity past is revealed to us in the Bible. Everything that we need to know and can understand about the future has been preserved by God and written down in the Bible. If you want to know something about the future, don't call the psychic hotline. Amen? And what you want to do is just study the Bible if you want the truth. Now, if you want somebody to pull wool over your eyes and use whatever deceptions and things, go ahead. A lot of people do. But if you want the truth, then go to the one who understands. Go to the one who has in control of everything past, present, and future. And that's Almighty God. And the Bible has withstood the test of time. This Bible that we have before us here, over the years, there have been many a men that tried to destroy the Bible. Hitler, Stalin, both those men said that they would destroy Christianity. They would destroy the Bible. Both of those men are in hell today, and the Bible is flourishing today. Amen? Praise the Lord for it. It's God's Word. He has promised. He said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we are to live by every word, then we have to have it written down. And God has written it down for us, that we might know the Word of God and that we might be accountable to it. We'll be judged according to the Word of God. We stand before God, we'll be judged, not according to what mom said, not according to what the preacher said. We'll be judged according to what God has preserved, written down for us, the very words of God. Jesus taught that very same truth. And so, understanding the importance of the Bible. That's why we went through the Bible. We taught on every book of the Bible to give you an understanding of that. And now this book of Revelation, it should never be the first book that a new Christian reads. Although many, it's intriguing to know about prophecy, the future events, the apocalypse. I mean, to understand all of the things, I mean, that's where the interest is at. And yet, until you have a good understanding of the entire Bible, you're not ready to go through and read and study the book of Revelation. There's a lot of symbolisms, a lot of things that would be very confusing. So we've been trying to break it down. Now, I'm a very practical preacher. I try to just bring it across and give it to you in a way that you can understand it, learn from it, and make some practical applications to your lives. I believe the Bible is very practical. God's given it to us so that we might be able to make application. And so that's how I've been preaching through the Bible. That's how I've been preaching in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, we have the outline of the book of Revelation found in verse 19. When he tells John, he says, write the things which thou hast seen. He saw the Christ. Amen. He wrote it down there in chapter 1. And then the things which are, that's the church age. We're still living in the church age. And that's chapter 2 and 3. And then the things which shall be hereafter, that's future. We're still living in the church age. When the church age is over, God will rapture the church. And then after the rapture of the church comes chapter 4 through the end of the book of Revelation. Now, we've studied some about the rapture of the church and what's going to take place with the saints in heaven. But chapter 6 through chapter 19 reveal the 7-year tribulation period. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. It will not begin until after the rapture of the church. That rapture of the church could take place at any moment. If you look around and see what God said would take place toward that day, the signs of the time were there. There's no other prophecy. The Bible is filled with prophecy, but no other prophecy is yet to be fulfilled this side of the rapture. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, all the prophecies that Jesus revealed, all of them have come to pass except for the rapture of the church. If all the other prophecies came true, if Jesus, the Son of God, came, the Messiah, amen, the Christ child, the whole Old Testament was pointing to the prophecy of the Christ coming. He came 2,000 years ago. Amen. If all the other prophecies have been fulfilled and were true, only God would know that back then. What makes us think that the prophecy of the rapture is not true? It is true. And then if that's going to be true, then what is going to take place afterwards? The earth will not be destroyed. The Christian will be removed. The church will be removed. And things will go on for the unsaved just like they were before. Except for what's going to happen on the earth. And the spirit of what's going to take place on the earth. And we're going to see in some of that in the rapture. And so with that in mind, God has a purpose for revealing everything that He has revealed. And the book of Revelation, He has a purpose for us understanding, because if you understand what's going to take place on earth, which actually could start as soon as tomorrow, if the rapture took place tonight, tribulation would start tomorrow, these things would be taking place within a few years. It's all in place. It would help us, if we truly understand this, believe this, it would help us to say, I want to make sure I'm not here on earth during the tribulation time. And I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can do to help others to not be here. To receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ that makes you a part of the body of Christ, the church, and be raptured up. I believe that's why we have it, to help us to understand, I don't want to be there. I don't want my loved ones to be there. I don't want my children to be there. I don't want my parents to be there. Brothers and sisters, whoever it might be. So God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Good men differ on some of the interpretations of the book of Revelation. I've been telling you that all along. Good men differ on that. And it's not they agree on the fundamentals. They agree on the doctrines. But they differ as far as sometimes the time frame or some of the interpretations, some of the symbols, and who's going to be represented as the different ones. Some of that is, and I've been getting into that because it doesn't matter. What matters is what will take place. There will be 7 years of tribulation. And the Bible describes what will take place during that 7 year tribulation period. Begins with the seven seals that only Jesus, the beginning of the judgment. And there was only one found worthy to open the seals. And that was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He opened the seven seals. The seventh seal leads into the seven trumpet judgments. Now, we've studied the first five trumpet judgments, what's going to take place on earth. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the sixth trumpet judgment. Chapter 9, verse 13. Stand with me. We'll read this and study this sixth trumpet judgment. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. And they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The sixth angel sounded. Sixth trumpet. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you tonight. Again, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And we thank you for your precious word. It reveals to us the very mind of an almighty creator God, who through the Bible has revealed to us what we can and understand about who you are and about our past, present, and future. And I pray tonight as we're in this book of Revelation that you give us the insight each one has need of in order to understand what you have for them to understand through this passage this evening. Pray that you'd empower the preaching once again of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The sixth trumpet sounds. Two main things addressed. Two main things addressed in verse 13 down to verse 21. The first we find addressed was the four angels that had been bound. The second thing addressed is the remaining population of mankind. What do they do? How do they continue to live? What will take place with the remaining population of earth? Well, the first thing we find here is the four angels. Holy angels have never been bound. Now, we studied this before. The angels, late Satan, we've studied that. It revealed Lucifer. And we looked in the Old Testament and what the Bible has to say about it. We looked at this even last Sunday night. And understanding that Lucifer was cast out of heaven and all those angels that followed him. But there were some that we find that God had put in chains and bound in this place of hell, or this temporary place of hell, of Hades hell, not Gehenna hell. Gehenna hell has been prepared, has not been opened yet. It will be open, and there's no escape out of Gehenna hell. But this Hades hell, or this place of the bottomless pit, we studied what the Bible had to say about that last week, and this is a place that Satan has access to be able to come and go from. This is a place, I believe, that God has prepared for the spirits of those that die without Jesus Christ. They go immediately to a place of hell, but Gehenna hell is not opened up. That will not be opened up until the great white throne judgment for humanity. The Bible says that hell was prepared. Jesus taught that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, a place to hold them for an eternity, never being able to escape. And all of those that follow them, who fail to receive Jesus Christ, who die without Christ, will follow them into this place of Gehenna hell. That's going to be the great white throne judgment. We'll be getting into that later on. But right now there's a place, the Bible says, that a pit, a bottomless pit. And this is looked at many times as somewhat the core of the earth. Whether or not it's a spiritual, hell is going to be a different dimension than what we're aware of. Heaven is a different dimension than what we're aware of. But we find here that this is a real place, and it's a place where the spirits of lost men go. It's a place where Satan and his angels have access to come and go freely. Right now. And so we find that as they were kicked out of heaven, there had to have been some angels that had been bound for a certain purpose of time. And that's what it reveals to us here. During this judgment, the sixth trumpet judgment, it reveals these four angels, and look at verse 14. Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Everything focuses on the Middle East. That ought to help us to see that it's all real right there. I mean, Israel, this whole world is defined by whether you're for or against Israel. I mean, look at what's in the media, look at everything, the Euphrates River, everything is that in that Middle East, and that's where the great battle of Armageddon is going to be, and everything's focused there. But we find here that he reveals that the four angels, which are bound, are going to be released, going to be loosed, if you will, to be able to play havoc on the earth. They've been bound and will be released to kill one-third of the earth's population. 1/3. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared, verse 15, for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So we find here in these four angels and what God has revealed to us about them, God had kept them for this prepared time. God does everything decently in order. Nothing just happens with God. God has a plan for everything. He has a purpose. There's no accidents in the Christian's life. Whatever happens to us, God either brings it about or God has to allow it to happen, but God is very much aware of it. No, make no mistake, nothing is an accident with God's children. God controls what takes place in the life of the believers. God had kept them for this period of time. Look right there. Prepared for an hour. He knew what was... I'm down to the hour of this time in the rapture, or in the tribulation. And a day, and a month, and a year. He knew exactly the time that this sixth angel would trumpet would sound. And that these four angels would be released. God has a plan to place from the foundation of the earth. There's been many verses talking about from the foundation of the earth. Jesus taught that. He wanted us to know that God has a purpose and a plan for all things. Matter of fact, go back with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. The Bible all fits together like a glove when you understand it. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that there's a plan. God has had a plan from the foundation of the earth. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34. The Bible says, "And these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." The Old Testament, there were things that they didn't understand. I mean, the Old Testament saints knew that the Messiah would come. They had no understanding that there was going to be an indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which we have here in the New Testament church age. They had no understanding about the church, especially the church would be opened up to the entire world, the Gentiles. It would be opened up to whosoever will. And whosoever would receive Jesus Christ as Savior, whether Jew or Gentile, they would become part of this church, which is a mystery in the Old Testament, but it was prepared, it was talked about, and things were prepared for Jesus coming and establishing His church. This age that we're living in now is the church age. It began, Jesus ushered this church age in, and He will call the church out to end this church age. It's been going on for some 2,000 years now. I don't know how much longer it's going to go. I guarantee you, if God knew the hour and the day and the month and the year, that He's going to release these angels, these fallen angels that have been bound, He knows exactly what day He's going to do it. It has been determined. It has been placed on the calendar of God. There will be a rapture which will end this church age. Coming toward the end of the church age, the Bible says there'll be a lot of apostasy. And there will be an antichrist movement. There will still be religion. It will just not be the doctrine of Christ. Do you see that evolving even today? There's churches still in every corner. I mean, they're ordaining homosexuals now as pastors. And I just read that in the paper this last week about certain denominations. That's antichrist. Because Jesus taught about His church, and He gave the qualifications for the pastors, and He gave qualifications for the leadership of the church. And if you go opposite that, then it is antichrist in what you're establishing. We don't have time to go into all of that, but the idea there is we are living in a state of apostasy, a continual falling away from what Christ Himself established. America at one time established laws that would support Christianity. Today they're establishing laws that will go opposite Christianity. You cannot be blinded to that. That is evident. And what's that leading up to? Rapture of the church. That will take place before the rapture of the church. The Bible is very clear on that. And so we find here that these angels, there was a time, a place. I mean, God knew exactly when that was going to be. And they come, the idea that God understands from the foundation of the earth, He has a plan and a purpose for all things. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 25, again, we find Jesus teaching His disciples and writing it down for us to understand that there has been a plan from the foundation of the earth. Chapter 25 and verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, He has a place prepared. He has a place prepared for those that trust Christ as their Savior. And He has a place prepared for those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. God kept them bound for this period of time. The four angels will have an army of 200 million. Did you get that? Look there in verse 16 again. These four angels, it's revealing some things about these four angels. These had been bound. These are evil angels. These were those that had followed after the Lucifer, the devil himself, and God had bound them until this day, until the day of the sixth trumpet sounds. In verse 16, the Bible says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, 200 million. Verse 17 through 19, describe them. Now realize that John is describing these angels and is describing what he sees based on the terminology he's familiar with. John had never seen an attack helicopter. He had never seen a nuclear explosion. Never seen the type of warfare that we are very familiar with today that we see on television and we see the different things. It's made available. Everyone in the world could see the very same things today via television. John didn't have that. But God revealed John a vision as to what would take place in this time. And so we find here that John describes what he saw in the terms that he would be familiar with. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that's in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth, brimstone, and the heads of horses which were heads of lions, and out of the mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Out of the mouth issued fire, smoke, those three. And then he says, by these three was a third part of men killed. When he sees the men dying, mankind dying around the world, a third part of the world, a third part of humanity dying, he sees what's killing them is this smoke and this fire and brimstone. When you see an explosion, you'll see smoke and you'll see fire and you'll see this glow and things that are melting inside. It's be described as brimstone. He sees that. He says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, again, this is something you look at, attack Apache helicopter, and they see the missiles coming out of the tail, and they see the man sitting in the cockpit, and whatever it might be. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be. I'm saying that's a possibility. That's where some men will differ on that. Men will differ on whether this is a military army or it is truly just demonic animals and demonic creatures coming out of the pits of hell. Can I tell you? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to sit across the table with some people and argue the point. Practically speaking, it doesn't matter. I don't want to be here whether it is a military endeavor or especially if it's demons and different types of creatures that had been prepared by God for this purpose. Maybe they had them bound as well. I know one thing, it's going to be demonic. Because it's going to be under the control of the four fallen angels. The four fallen angels that had been bound through all this time, they're going to be in charge of this great military or this great endeavor, and it's going to destroy one-third of the earth's population. That's all that matters. I'm not going to argue over that. That's what that matters. That's practically speaking, that's what's going to happen. A third part of humanity will be killed by fire, smoke, and brimstone. And it's going to be demonic. Yeah. That's the four angels. That's what's taking place. He reveals what's taking place with those four bound angels. It's going to have this control over 200 million. Many believe this to be China coming across to Iraq and Iran and all that Middle East there. That's where it's all going to be focused on that. You can see it's an army of 200 million. There's no doubt that would not be a problem with the earth's population today. But either way, it's going to be demonic and it's going to wipe out a third of the earth's population. So the Bible's revealed that to us. God has a reason for revealing that. The second thing that he reveals to us is what takes place the remainder of the world's population. This is what just completely baffles my mind. You would think at such a time as this, they would be crying out for the mercies of God. That's not what happens. Whether it's because they don't believe that there is a God. They believe in aliens, and they believe in other planets, other life forms. They're not crying out to God because they have completely been blinded to the fact that there is a God. Look what it says concerning the remaining population of mankind. Verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, repented not of what they had been doing, that they should not worship devils. Means they continue to worship devils. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. There still might be some type of form of religion, but it's just of an idol. It's worshiping the stars. They repent not. When it says they repent not, meaning that they could have. Even in this final judgment, God's mercy has been extended and would have offered mercy if they would have repented. But they have not repented. The psalmist wrote of that in Psalm chapter 9. I want you to see this. Psalm chapter 9, verse 15. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. The heathen is sunk down in the pit that they made. They had allowed themselves to separate from a belief in God. They had blocked God out of their hearts and their minds. And the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon is, the definition of that is meditate, and Selah, stop and think. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, what's happened, they just forget there is no God as far as Christianity. There is no God of the Bible. Let's get rid of the Bible. Let's get rid of Christianity. That's what it's talking about there. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The needy and the poor have been done away with. They've been killed. And we'll see some of that a little bit later. I mean, God's going to revenge them. And arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. That's what's going to take place on the earth. The judgment. Put them in fear, O Lord. that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Is man putting himself up as equal with God? We don't need God. We are our own gods. And we can do whatever. We don't need God. Look at our technology. Look at what we're able to do. Yeah, that's exactly what the psalmist wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It goes hand in hand with what's taking place in the sixth trumpet judgment. They repented not. They had chosen their sinful life and would be controlled by it. Whether you like to look at it this way or not, but we choose what kind of lifestyle we live. Comes down to it, you choose whether you go to that alcohol. And if you choose alcohol, you can only choose it for so long and then it will control you. That's an addiction. That's control. Young people, you choose whether or not you begin to experiment with drugs and smoking marijuana or whatever it might be. You get to choose that. Before you know it, it's not your choice any longer, because then that which you have chosen will control you. You choose whether or not to keep yourself pure. You choose whether or not you're going to get involved in sexual activity. You choose. But before you know it, you have no more choice, because it controls you. This world gets to choose whether you believe in God or not. But the more you choose that to believe that God does not exist, the more you turn away from God, for you know it, it will control you. And therefore, even when you see God working in the fulfillment of this judgment upon earth, you'll not turn to God, because you've already blocked God out of your mind. It's not an option. They repented not. Not only would they repent not, but they would continue in their sin. This sin had such a control over them, this is how they would continue to live their life. And not only continue, but even become even more wicked in their sin. Verse 20. They worship devils and idols. Evil will be magnified when the church is raptured and the witness of Christ is gone. There will be more of a worship of devils and idols. Verse 21, the Bible says, neither repented they of their murders. Murder will become common. Can I tell you, murder is becoming more and more common today in the world. It starts with mercy killings, euthanasia, abortion. Becomes common. Today, outside of somebody loving God and knowing this Bible, you've been brainwashed to believe it's that woman's choice. No, you had a choice whether or not you conceived that child. Once that child had been conceived, it's God put life in that womb. That child is alive. And if you choose to take that child's life, you have chosen to murder that child. You had a choice in the beginning, but afterwards it's not a choice. It's sin. And yet, our world, the mentality of the world, it's nothing to take the life of the unborn, to take the life of those crippled, to take the life of those elderly. For the thought is, they really don't have any quality of life, and so let's become the gods and determine who lives and who dies. It will get worse during this time, because the opposition to it will not be here. The opposition to murder is the church. The opposition to this idea of euthanasia, the opposition to abortion, the opposition to this is Christianity. understanding that God created life, and it's up to God. Life and death belongs in God's hands. We are not the God that can choose who lives and who dies. Only the Creator. They will not repent of their murders. They'll just continue to increase in their murders. Nor their sorceries, witchcraft, fortune tellers, crystal balls, horoscopes. All this is connected to that. Matter of fact, look with me over to Galatians in chapter 5. These are all sins of the flesh. And outside of God, we'll revert to the sins of the flesh. Outside of God revealing to our flesh it's wrong, we'll do it. Galatians in chapter 5 says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." All of those are included in this sin of sexual sins. "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And those that are turned away from God will be controlled by these. Fornication, immorality of all sorts, sexual perversions. Do you not see that running rampant today? That's with the influence of the church. That's with the influence of the church and pastors standing up and preaching that it's sin. Pastors who fear God and realize that they're here to represent the Bible, not here to preach what is acceptable in society today. I do believe that possibly even before the rapture of the church, it's going to come in America where if you stand up and publicly can preach against homosexuality, that you will be looked at as a hate crime. And you might even have to be in prison for preaching what we preach for some 2,000 years in this New Testament church age. The church is going to be gone. Everyone that would oppose this kind of lifestyle, not here. And left unopposed, what kind of society are you going to have? What a wicked, wicked society. Sexual perversions. I don't know how it could get much worse than what it is today. But I know it will be. And then thefts. A thief has no regards for anyone else. A thief is so selfish that all they want is what I can get by with taking. Don't care how it affects you, how it changes your life. It's about what I want. That's the flesh. They will not repent. They'll just be given more to this kind of the works of the flesh. What an evil description of that day. Today, it's limited by God. In the rapture, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that the spirit that now limits will be taken up with the church. The spirit is what convicts. The spirit is what limits Satan from his control over humanity. That will not be here. There will be no conviction of the Holy Spirit. Outside the conviction of the Holy Spirit are the conviction of conscience. The conviction of conscience, the difference is when you're convicted over something that you were raised to believe that was wrong, you'll have a conviction. Whatever convicts you will point you to them. If you're convicted, you might not be saved, you're convicted of a certain lifestyle, I guarantee you somebody in your life taught you that was wrong. And so when you do something that they taught you was wrong, you go back to a conviction of mom and dad. Because they told me that there was a certain way of life and I shouldn't do certain things. And when I go opposite that, there's a conscious conviction. Because somebody spent some time to try to help you to understand something. That's totally different. The difference between a conscious conviction and a Holy Spirit's conviction is when the Holy Spirit convicts, He points you to God. When you commit sin, what comes to mind, the Holy Spirit brings to mind, is Christ. He died for your sin. God says it's wrong. You need to repent to God. Sin against God, first of all. Then it's against your upbringing, against your parents or whatever. That's not going to take place. So the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way and the church is going to be gone. What kind of society would we have even today if the church, if it was not for the influence of the church, the preaching of the Word of God, the Bible will be gone. The preacher, hopefully, if he's the right kind of preacher, will be gone. Parents that want to raise their children in a Christ-like way will be gone. No restraints. That's the kind of society they'll have in that evil day. Can I tell you this morning or this evening? Every one of us ought to be thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be very thankful for godly influences, the testimonies of Christian parents, the testimonies of Christian co-workers, Christian teenagers who love God. Be thankful for Bible preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that's why you want to support this church, because you want to support that which we have need of in our society today. We need the influence of the church. We need a church that stands for what the church is supposed to stand for. We need a preacher that's going to stand and preach the Word of God, whether it is acceptable in society or not. It's the Word of God and it needs to be preached. Thank God for it. They lead us to repent. If you never come under conviction, you'll never change your life. You can go to church as much as you want to go to church. If you're not hearing things that are going to convict you of sin, you'll never repent. It's when you come and you hear the truth being preached and the Spirit of God, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit, and He says, what that preacher is saying is true. How you're living your life and what you're doing is wrong, and you need to repent to God. Amen. That's what takes place. That's why we have the assembling of ourselves together. And that's why we're instructed to preach the Word of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God does in our midst. He reveals the truth. He brings conviction. And that's why we have invitations. So once you heard the conviction of God, you can respond to what God has to say to you. And you come to this altar and you confess to God and He forgives you of your sins and strengthens you to go out and be a witness for Him. To help others to know that there's a different way to live. And ultimately, to help others to realize you don't want to be left on this earth when the rapture takes place. Are you ready? Sixth trumpet sounds. The two things that are described that God wants us to know about is the four angels that have been bound for this day and time. And what happens to the remaining population on earth? That ought to speak to us tonight. We ought to want to do what we can. First of all, to make sure you're not going to be here. And do what you can to make sure as many people as possible, you're going to influence them to want to go up in the rapture of the church. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The book of Revelation is what God's revealed to us concerning the future. It will take place. All other prophecies have been fulfilled that leading up to this point, we ought to know for sure that the remaining prophecies will take place. The next event in prophecy, the rapture of the church. Are we ready? Are we ready? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to have this understanding of what you have written down and preserved for us. And Lord, through this understanding of what will take place, Lord, use it to strengthen us today to be the Christians we need to be and to accomplish the things you have us to here to accomplish. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for conviction. I thank you for your church, for the testimony of your children, for those who love you, those who have a love for others. I pray tonight, God, that you would just work now in our midst, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.